What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. In today's episode, we're going to go into the unsexy truth about weight loss. This is the stuff that not a lot of people talk about. It's kind of the gray area, if you will. Everybody wants to know about calories and macros and the best training program and the best diet out there. And I want to get into specifics about the bigger picture, the nuance, the unsexy truth, because it's so important. This is where success lives. It does not live in the perfect calorie and macro plan. It does not live in the perfect training program. It lives in the gray, the unsexy truth. So that is what I'm going to get into. And before I do, it's Wednesday. It's not technically Wednesday as I'm recording this, but it's Wednesday as you are listening, hopefully. Because if you're a real fan, you listen right when the new episode comes out, which would mean you're subscribed and following, and then you get a notification that brightens your morning, and it says, new episode on Mind Over Macros. And then you get really excited to listen, and you jump right in on your way to the gym or on your way to work or on your morning walk or whatever it is. So because it's the Wednesday edition, that means I have to give out a free supplement to one of our amazing reviewers. Somebody who left a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify wins every single week. We're at 907 reviews on Apple Podcasts alone. So that 1K, that 1,000 review mark, just on Apple Podcasts is well within reach. I can't do the math. If we average like somewhere around 5 per week, I don't know the math right off the top of my head to get to 93, whatever, something like 20 weeks or so. Anyway, that wasn't too bad for mental math. I've been practicing since I help my 11-year-old stepdaughter with her math homework frequently. And I was so impressed because for those of you who were really good at math when you were younger, I was really good at math. In fact, Mel and I were talking about this recently. Apparently, the SATs are like no longer really important or even necessary. But it was a big deal when I was younger and trying to get into a good college. And so when I took the SATs, I like aced the math portion of it. I think I got like I think 800 was the best. So there was the math, and then there was like the reading / English, whatever. I was not very good at that side of it, but I think it was 800 and 800. I think I got like a 750 or 770 or something in that range on math, and then got like a 500 on the other portion. So I consider myself to be pretty good. However, in going back and doing like fifth grade math homework, they have all this new shit that they do. Like I can give my stepdaughter the answers, but they have like this whole process and they're like, no, you have to do it this way. You have to show your work this way. And it makes no fucking sense. So I was really impressed with myself because she had one homework assignment and I was like, well, this is how I used to show my work when I did this. And she was like, yeah, that's exactly how we were taught. And so finally I got one right where it's actually held up over the past 30 years. So, you know, that was a point for the OGs, for the old school math heads where we didn't really have to do that. Like we had to show our work, but it was like very straightforward and it would actually make logical sense that we would show the steps. Now it's like, why do it in one step when you can do it in 17 steps? And that's honestly how it looks. And if you have a kid who's in that age range, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is not even close to a relevant point. But let's get to the winner this week is Teresa Scar. Teresa Scar, congrats. The review says, Holy Grail of Fitness. I love that title. Thank you. It says, I've been an active listener for a long time and feel he covers it all, from physical health to mental health. His knowledge is real and concise, straight to the point of what you need to know. Doesn't matter if you are a beginner or more advanced lifter. I appreciate this knowledge, and it's always a dose of reality that I sometimes need. I also value the products he recommends and have found so much healing in incorporating his advice and guidance into my life. That means a lot. Seriously, I really appreciate that, Teresa. And if you want to email me, mike@peakoptimizationperformance.com, I will get you hooked up with a product of your choice, since you mentioned the products that I recommend. You can pick whatever one you want from one of our sponsors, Legion Athletics, Organifi, or Cured Nutrition. You can check out all three of them and look at their lineup of products, and you can take your pick of the litter, and I will send that over to you completely free because you left a wonderful review. And if you, for anybody listening that wants to be eligible next week, it's really simple. You just open up the podcast app on your phone. You type in on the search function, Mind Over Macros. You'll see the show pop up. You tap on the thumbnail. You scroll down until you see the ratings and reviews. And then there's a button that says write a review. And you just submit and you are eligible to win. And that is exactly how it works. So, all right. So let's kind of get into this. I had a comment. I'm going to give you several different unsexy truths. It's somewhat of a list. Some are going to be more, require more of an explanation than others. But I thought that this was really important. This is a very important conversation. And I've been looking forward to this one because it actually stemmed from a comment that somebody made. And I read this comment and it was on social media. And it was a colleague of mine who made a post about coaching. And there was I really shouldn't get caught up in scrolling, like the comment section of social media. Like sometimes just have to stay away because it can be a black hole, and it can waste a lot of time and just really make you discouraged in humanity. But anyway. This one was kind of just like a seemingly innocuous comment because it was another coach that I am friends with who made a post. And it was a really good post and just kind of offered some insight into making the most out of the coaching experience. And I think that's a really valuable thing to share. Like a lot of times we join coaching programs. I know I've done this in the past. And it's like, well, I don't necessarily know what I can do from my end to make this as successful as possible. So I thought it was really valuable. Anyway, there was a commenter who said something along the lines of, you know, if you simply eat healthy and exercise, you don't need a coach. It was something along those lines. It was basically like distilling it down to just eat healthy. Well, what does that mean? And exercise in what context? Like what type of exercise? How much exercise? Anyway, I'm not even going to touch the food and nutrition part, but the comment just, and again, I should have just read it and been like, you know, props to this person for seemingly having it all figured out. But I think the discussion isn't to defend coaching. The discussion is to talk about the unsexy truths about weight loss and health and fitness and nutrition. And this is the stuff that I think gets buried. I mean, just think about how much misinformation, like it's so confusing out there because you go on social media and you hear somebody who's seemingly very reputable telling you that you shouldn't eat carbs, you shouldn't eat seed oils, you shouldn't drink diet soda, you shouldn't do this, this, and this. You have people who are telling you that kale is toxic and broccoli is toxic. I'm not joking. These things exist. And then you scroll two posts down and you have somebody else who's seemingly very knowledgeable, completely obliterating those other people and saying, you know, this guy is spreading pseudoscience and misinformation. You have coaches who are saying reverse dieting is necessary. for most people to lose weight. And then you have somebody who says reverse dieting is not real. It's fake. It's a scam. So like, what the fuck do you believe? And that's why I want to talk about the unsexy truths, because it is kind of like the wild, wild west out there. It is very difficult where like anybody can just start a platform, create an account, and act like an expert. And it's really challenging to know what's what. The reality is, it always depends, and it's important to have context. And that's kind of like the direction that I wanted to go here, was I wanted to highlight some of these unspoken, but really important, nuanced variables that come into play when we're talking about weight loss. Because it's not just about eating healthy and working out. It's not just about eating less and moving more. If it were that simple, everybody would be where they want to be. Everybody would be healthy and fit and would look exactly the way that they want to look. But that is not the world that we live in. Now, there are people that will tell you that it is that simple, and the people who can't do it simply don't have the discipline or the desire or whatever. And to that I say, fuck off. That is complete and utter bullshit. And I'm going to show you and prove why that is bullshit. So these are six things that I've identified. And there's a lot more, but these are six major unsexy truths about weight loss that nobody wants to talk about. The first one is relevant to exercise. Exercise, we know, is health promoting, okay? Exercise has a lot of amazing health benefits, longevity, a lot of different hormonal and metabolic benefits depending on the type of exercise and all that stuff. But you'd be hard pressed to find, like we originally used to think of training and resistance training as just like a muscle building activity, but now we're seeing that it's truly preventative care. Like it reduces the risk of everything. Cardiovascular disease, heart disease, metabolic disease, sarcopenia. You know, it protects you from slip and falls, reduction in pain, like all these things, aging gracefully. Like it just, the research just keeps stacking up. Now, here's the interesting part. So that is pretty well established. But when it comes to weight loss, now we're talking about exercise in conjunction with hunger. For a select group, this seems to be about 25%, depending on the research. It can be anywhere. You know, again, research, we have to like try to replicate it and then come up with these consensus conclusions. Around 25% of people will have an increase in hunger when they exercise, meaning they will eat more because they are exercising. Now, for some and for most, there's either going to be a neutral or positive effect. So for some people, exercising will actually make them less hungry. For some people, exercising will be net neutral. It's not going to change their hunger signals. But there's that lucky group that sees an increase in hunger response, hunger hormones, cravings, and subsequently the amount of food that they consume as a result of that because of exercise. So once, you know, we're just coming out of the gate here with number one, and you can already see that eat less, move more isn't so black and white, because our individual response to exercise as it relates to hunger. Now you can say, oh, well, if you're one of those, you know, one out of every four people who sees an increase, and by the way, it might actually be a little bit higher than that, but that's roughly an estimation. If you're one out of those four people that sees an increase in hunger response, well, you just have to have more discipline. Like, Oh, really? Is that all it takes? I just have to fight my way and white knuckle my way through this increase in hunger while you, who has a reduction in hunger, oh, it's so easy. Like, I get it, the whole, yeah, you just have to work harder thing. I understand it. But let's also understand individual differences. Let's also understand that it's not, we're not comparing apples to apples. When you compare a human to a human, even though we're the same species, we are so, so different. Hopefully you understand where I'm going with this conversation. I want to take a brief pause in this episode so I can tell you about Cured Nutrition. Cured is just doing amazing things over there with their line of products to help with recovery and sleep and stress management and anxiety. And really, you're not going to find a company who is leading the charge more so than Cured. I think we are living in a day and age where we need to push the brake pedal just as much as we need to push the gas pedal. And so it's important to have some resources at our disposal. And for me, that's why I lean on Cured for recovery, for quality sleep, even for focus, because taking the Rise product that they have, it's you know, this natural, very productive focused state because of the functional mushrooms that they use, the adaptogens that they use in their products. And then, you know, for anxiety, you can use something like the Calm Caps. For sleep, I highly recommend the Serenity Gummies. I talk about them all the time because it's still my absolute favorite. I actually look forward to taking them. It's like one of those weird things where it's like, ooh, it's the end of the night. Ooh, give me my Serenity Gummies. Because not only do I feel great and it helps me sleep, but, you know, having a gummy, it's like second dessert. You also get 15% off all of their products if you go to curednutrition.com/popfam, PopFam. The code is popfam at checkout for 15% off, but I highly recommend if you need some enhanced focus and productivity, get the Rise product. If you need to sleep better, get the Serenity Gummies, or if you want something without the small dose of THC, you can go with the Zen Caps or the Night Caps. And then if you need something for anxiety, it's the Calm Caps for me. So curednutrition.com is the site. Code POPFAM, POPFAM is the code for 15% off. And now let's get back to the episode. Number two, this is another one where we see a dramatic difference in pleasure response from food. So let's just say there's a person out there. You probably know people like this. I know people like this. People like this confuse the fuck out of me. You probably know somebody, one of your friends, family member, and you put a piece of cake in front of them or ice cream or a cookie and they have a bite and they're like, oh, that was really good. And then they're just like so casually done with it. And you're like, are you alive? You like, is anybody home? Are you in there? Is everything okay? Because me, I eat the whole cake and then get a second piece of cake and then still have the cookie and also have the ice cream. The pleasure response, the dopamine response, lights up differently for different people. So you have people who are more prone to being overweight, more prone to being obese. The reward response and the pleasure response to food is heightened. Once again, this just shows the whole, oh, just stop eating those things, right? Like, oh, just have, you know, you hear people who are like, instead of eating the whole bowl of ice cream, just have a spoonful. And I'm like, okay, stop. Nobody, unless you are genetically gifted with that ability, having just a spoonful of ice cream is like playing just the tip. Like it's like, Is that really what we're going to do for the rest of our lives? We're just going to play just the tip. So it's just, there's, again, this is to highlight the gray area. The gray area is for certain people, it's like, oh, I just cut out sugar. It was so easy. Yeah, that might have been easy for you as an individual. Now, again, I'm not sharing this because I want you to wear this like a badge. I don't want you to get it twisted here. The objective is not for you to say, oh, well, I'm this type of person. So you put yourself in a box and you just confine yourself like, oh, I get intense hunger from exercise. I get a huge reward response from food. So I'm just destined to be overweight. That's not the point. This is not, I'm not handing out victim cards here. I'm talking about reality of research and individuality, which is really important. But awareness is the first step because I have a high hunger response to exercise. When I play tennis, I'm ravenous. I also have a high dopamine reward response to certain foods. Again, ice cream. I can overeat, you know, cookies all day. I can overeat ice cream all day. I'll crush a large, like we have this local ice cream spot that's best ice cream ever. And I get this really decadent sundae that's like peanut butter everything. It's literally called a peanut butter bomb sundae. And it's gigantic. And I will crush that before you even blink and be like, okay, what's next? Like, I have that pleasure response. And yet I'm still able to make this work, which is another topic that we're going to get to in a second. But my point is, this isn't to wear this as a badge and to be like, oh, look at me, I can never be successful. This is to say there are differences that we have to be aware of that make it so much more nuanced than just eat less, move more, or here's your calories, have a nice day, or here's your training program. Like, it's so much more than that. All right, so number three is along the lines of metabolic adaptation. And one thing that we see from research is when you look at activity, if you look at the calories out side of the equation, right? Energy balance, calories in, calories out. Calories in is pretty straightforward. We're eating food that has potential energy. We're drinking beverages that might have energy, potential energy, calories. That's calories in. That's it. You can't get them any other way. Calories out is a little bit more complex. And what makes the equation very complex is that it's dynamic. So both sides are influencing each other. But the calories outside of things, we have these various categories that make up how many calories you burn in a day. And it's damn near impossible to get an accurate reading on this. So when you look at your fitness wearable and your tracker, it's not telling you the real number. It just isn't. It's fine if you like to look at the data and you're like, ooh, it says I burned 3,000 calories today. Great. It means absolutely nothing. So just take it with a grain of salt. You've got your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, which is simply how many calories does it take to keep the lights on? You've got your thermic effect of food, which is how much energy it takes to digest and process food. You've got your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So that's like any movement that is not voluntary exercise. And then you've got exercise, voluntary activity. Okay, so those are your four categories that make up your calories out. How many calories am I burning on a daily basis? It's those four things. And they're modifiable to a certain extent. BMR, you can change by having more muscle. Thermic effect of food, you can change by eating more protein and fiber. Your exercise, obviously, you can do more or less exercise. And non-exercise activity thermogenesis is really more like subconscious movement, but it's highly variable. And so what we see there's a lot of layers to this, because naturally lean people who are more resistant to becoming obese, have a much higher level of subconscious movement. These are the people that fidget a lot and they pace and they can't stand still and they don't like to sit and they're just always moving in some way, shape, or form. And it can make up a huge chunk of calories burned on a day-to-day basis. Whereas people who are more prone to obesity will typically involuntarily, like this is all subconscious, we'll just move less. So we're already out of the gate. There are some people that are playing from behind. However, when you start to actively diet and shrink your body, you are actively trying to lose body fat, there will be a subconscious reduction in non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT. Again, this is the involuntary, like subconscious movement from talking with your hands and fidgeting and pacing and doing the things that you do where you're not consciously, this is not exercise. This is everything outside of, this is all movement outside of exercise. And so as you are getting smaller and losing body fat and losing weight, you're reducing your BMR first and foremost, and your body and your metabolism are compensating by burning less calories through NEAT, through non-exercise activity thermogenesis. The reason for that is very simple, because your body wants to establish homeostasis. Your body and your metabolism, they don't really want you to starve to death. They want you to stay alive. So as a very nice protective mechanism, you're going to see a reduction in NEAT and in your BMR as you're losing weight. Now, here's the interesting part. That can be pretty variable from person to person as well. Meaning, my reduction in NEAT might only be 300 calories a day as I lose weight. Because let's just use my current example. I've lost 13 pounds on this fat loss phase that I'm now reversing out of. So during the dieting process, my body, even though I'm aware that this is happening, I can't stop it. There's nothing that I can do to stop this. My body is subconsciously burning less calories because I've lost weight. So now my BMR is lower because I'm a smaller size. And I'm burning less calories through non-exercise activity. Okay, so let's just say, and I don't know what the number is, but let's just say for me, it was 300 calories a day. So my body compensated because it doesn't want to live in a deficit for very long. It wants homeostasis. So to try and get to homeostasis, it compensates. And let's just say that's 300 calories. Somebody else, same size as me, same everything. Like, let's just say all things are equal. Let's say my exact clone. My clone might have a reduction of 500 calories per day. Just luck of the draw. Okay. Now, to take it one step further, on the flip side, I'm reverse dieting now. So I'm getting my calories up to my new maintenance, which is very key, because my new maintenance is based off of my current self, not the Mike Milner that started dieting on January 2nd. Different maintenance now, different person. Okay. New maintenance. Maintenance is a moving target. I'm trying to reverse diet to my new maintenance while maintaining my results within a certain fluctuation range. As I eat more, my body and my metabolism are very kind and they will start to subconsciously move more because there's more energy coming in. Guess what? There's no threat anymore. Our body and our metabolisms are like, okay, cool. Energy's coming back in. It's not a famine. We don't have to panic, and you will subconsciously start moving more. Once again, There is an individual response here. People who are naturally lean will see an upregulation more significant than people who are more prone to being overweight or obese. So this one is a really important one because it hits on many different levels as a starting baseline, as a compensation down, and as a compensation up. Okay, so once again, tell me how it's just eat less, move more. Tell me how it's just calories and macros and training. It's much more than that. Individual response. All right, so now number four is my favorite because this really, like, if you are sharing information, if you are a coach or a practitioner or somebody who's just trying to inspire other people, all right, if you're sharing information, please listen to this. And this is a reminder for me. I am not off the hook on this one in terms of I take some of this blame as well. I didn't mean off the hook like a good thing. Yo, it's off the hook. I'm not what I'm trying to say. I'm guilty as well. Anyway, number four. You'll see people who say, I didn't feel like working out this week, but I did it anyway. And you can do hard things. I tracked all my food. You can track your food too. I worked out 5 days this week. You can work out 5 days this week too. Okay, I understand the message. Like, hey, we can do hard things. But here's the problem. Let's just say this guy, we'll call him Sam. I don't know why I said Sam. Let's call him a different name. Let's call him... I need it to be a name where I don't actually know somebody with that name because then I'm going to think about that person. Let's call him Henry. I don't think I know a Henry. All right. So Henry is born with a genetic gift. Henry can jump really high. Like Henry was the kid in seventh grade who could already dunk a basketball. Everybody was amazed at Henry. And seeing that he had this gift, Henry used it frequently. He liked to play basketball. He liked to show off at the park. He would go and, you know, the older kids would be there and Henry would dunk and they couldn't believe how high he could jump. And then in his 20s, like Henry had an insane vertical. And he would post all these pictures and videos on Instagram and he would go viral. Like the feats of jumping ability were phenomenal. People could not believe it. He was doing dunks between his legs, around the back, 360, everything. He had all these viral videos because he had this incredible inherent ability to jump. And Henry starts selling a program. And everyone's like, I want to jump like Henry. Hey, Henry, can you teach me how to jump like that? Henry's like, yeah, totally. It's so easy. It's so easy. Literally anyone can do it. I'm going to give you the exact thing that I did to be able to jump like this and dunk like this. You're going to be dunking a basketball in no time. Just follow the way that I did it. And it's going to be incredible. And Henry gets a bunch of people to buy his program. And his plan is really simple. It's like you just jump frequently and repetitively and you just are able to dunk. Except all of these people are not quite wired like Henry. They didn't have that genetic gift. And Henry's ability was a God-given ability. And all these people who are following Henry's plan, because they see what Henry looks like. They are watching him soar through the air with grace. And they want that outcome. So they paid him money to teach them. But guess what? That was just his genetic gift. And his program doesn't work. And here's why this is important. some people are wired differently when it comes to being driven or being disciplined or being leaner or having a natural ability. And we go on social media and we see, you know, Susie Thirst Trap and want that booty. But Susie Thirst Trap's booty was a genetic booty. But we want to know what Susie Thirst Trap is eating every day. And we want to follow her exact workout plan. And it doesn't work. And here's the other part about that. When you have these people who tell you, oh, you can do hard things. You can go to the gym even when you don't want to. You can do hard things. But guess what? The way that that person's wired, the hard thing for them would be to skip the gym because they are wired that way. You would have to drag their ass out of the gym because they are wired that way. Do you see what I'm saying? The we can do hard things, it's a great message, but guess what? For certain individuals, the hard thing is resting. The hard thing is taking a recovery day. The hard thing is not training 7 days a week. So it's a little bit misguided when the person who is obsessed with the gym and goes 6-7 days a week is telling you, who's wired differently, that you can do the hard thing and show up to the gym. The appropriate response would be, hey, I'll show up to the gym 3 days this week because that's the hard thing for me. If you do the hard thing for you, which would be take a week off. Take a week off from training and then tell me we can do hard things because that's more of an even trade. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to understand these individual differences in the way that we are wired. And yes, I know I am guilty of this myself. Sometimes I get caught up in the trap of I did it so you can do it too. But listen, once again, it's important to remember I'm not here handing out victim cards. Don't use that as an excuse to say, well, I am wired differently, so I'm just not going to do it. So like the overarching message of we can do hard things is accurate. The question is, what's the hard thing for you? What's the hard thing for the individual who's sharing it? You tell me to take a week off from working out, that's the hard thing for me. You tell me to miss a day of tennis, that's the hard thing for me. The message, you know, it's context dependent. The point is, we don't use it as an excuse. We don't use it to play the victim card. We don't use it to box ourselves in. We use it for awareness. We use it for awareness, and awareness precedes change. So if I know that getting to the gym 3 times per week is the hard thing for me, well, guess what? Maybe I start with once a week and I build confidence in myself that I can do the hard thing and show up just once. And then I add another day. And then I add another day. And the next thing you know, I am doing the hard thing. One more brief pause in this episode because I have to mention Legion Athletics as my provider for all things general supplementation when we're talking about like filling the gaps. I always look at that from, you know, supplements, they fill the gaps. What am I doing and where are the holes in my game? Meaning, am I deficient in something like protein? If I'm not getting in enough protein and I'm struggling to get it in with real food, well, then I can lean on a whey protein supplement or a plant-based protein supplement. If I know that I'm deficient in vitamin D, like 80% of the population, then I can get a quality vitamin D supplement. If I know that I'm deficient in magnesium or if I'm deficient in omega-3s, then I can take a magnesium supplement or a fish oil supplement. And that's what I lean on Legion for. Fill the gaps. So currently, I take their multivitamin, their magnesium, their vitamin D, their fish oil. Mel just started taking their B complex. She also takes the same ones that I take. We also have tried their sleep product as well, which is great because it's a little bit different in that it doesn't have the melatonin. It's like 0.5, very, very, very small dose. So that actually pairs well with some of the other sleep products that I take. But Legion has just a whole host of amazing products. We use their whey protein. We've tried their plant-based protein. It's actually really good if you want a substitute for whey. And then, if you need a multi, if you need some fish oil, if you need vitamin D, they have great quality products. And you can go to legionathletics.com and use the code POPFAM, POPFAM, for 20% off your entire order. Or if you're a repeat Legion customer, you can get double the points with the code. So if you use code POPFAM, you're either going to get 20% off your whole order, or you're going to get double the points, which you can redeem for cash/products on the site. It's legionathletics.com. The code is POPFAM. And now let's get back to the episode. I just think that it's so important that we understand that we're wired differently. Now, here's another fascinating part of this. For individuals who have lost weight and kept it off, the successful people that we all aspire to be, there's not many of them. It's about 5-ish% of people who lose weight will keep it off long term. Okay. So they're a special group. And what we see from that special group is that they all practice some form of restraint. I had a mentor for a personal development course that I did. And he was a high performance mindset coach. Like, he was the person behind the person. So he worked with Tiger Woods. He worked with Lance Armstrong. He worked with U2. He worked with a lot of, I can't remember the number of Olympians and professional athletes, but basically when they were going through some shit, he was who they called. When they had a lot of pressure or stress or mental blocks or whatever, this was the guy that they called. And he said, the number one most important word in a champion's dictionary is restraint. Practicing restraint. And we know that from the people who lose weight and keep it off, that they all practice some form of restraint. But here's the thing. Some of them have a much easier time with restraint when it comes to calorie counting and macro counting. Not all of them, and it's not even the majority of them. I know we all want to say that macro tracking is the gold standard, and I think that it's very valuable. However, we have evidence to suggest that it's just one option. It's just one tool. Other people find that restraint is easier by restricting the amount of time that they consume calories. So they might be really good at fasting, and it doesn't cause them to overeat, and it doesn't cause them to binge. Then there's another subset of people that find certain food restrictions work well for them, meaning they prefer very low carb or something along those lines. So there's all these different forms of restraint. The point is, it doesn't feel challenging to those individuals. So like, if you told me to restrict carbs, it's going to be a nightmare for me. But if you tell me to restrict and practice restraint through calorie and macro tracking, I find that to be very easy. But that's just me. That's my own disposition. The key is finding your own, where it doesn't feel difficult, where it doesn't feel complicated, where you're like, oh, I could do this forever. I can easily do this forever. There has to be some degree of restraint. But again, this is the whole thing of, we are all wired differently. You have the proclivity for something that somebody else doesn't. So when you're successful with something, it's really tempting to go and share it with the world. This worked so well for me, right? For you. Let's not assume that it's going to work well for everybody else. And this is what I mean when I talk about influencers and people who have a platform where, like, look at what I did, follow my plan. Number one, they might have just been genetically gifted with that thing. Maybe it's the body part or, you know, the ability to jump higher or run fast or whatever. But we have to be really careful where we're getting that information from. And by the way, this is why I say, like, I used to work for a coaching program that put everybody in the same box. It was one way or no way. You either do it this way or get the fuck out. And if you don't do it our way, you suck. That was the basic company message. I now own a company that is purely centered around finding your way. That's why we start with a personality assessment. There's a method to the madness. How are you wired? What are you more prone to, more susceptible to? What do you have the tendency to do? What motivates you? How are you driven? All of these things are so critical. Again, there's a method to the madness. That's why. It's exactly what I'm explaining right now. This was only number four. We got two more, but the other two will be very quick. But this one I really wanted to spend the most time on, because if you don't understand this, it's so easy to get sucked in to the, you know, he said, she said, or this is what this person's doing. This is what that, you know, my neighbor did this program and says, swears by it up and down. The only thing that you should be listening to is, it worked for them. Does this apply to me? Or you recognize that you need something that is completely tailored to your own disposition and individual needs. And if you're not getting that, you got to advocate for yourself. Like when your doctor tells you, oh, just fast and do low carb, like advocate for yourself. You don't have to argue with them. You just say, hey, dog, I appreciate the tip. I'll see you next check-in or whatever. But the point is, like, don't just take it at face value because of all these things that I'm talking about. There's so much nuance that goes into it. Number five, there was a study that was done on overweight women and showed that 50% of them had some form of trauma in their background. So trauma is another one that I don't think gets talked about enough. I've talked about it with guests on the show. I talked about it with Kim Shaper when she was on. And there is a strong correlation between going through trauma and having, I mean, there's a number of correlations. Specifically, I'm talking about health related. So, you know, going through weight gain, having a poor relationship with food, disordered tendencies, obsessive control, eating disorders, you know, a lot of these connections can be made back to trauma in some way, shape, or form. It is certainly not my area of expertise. I am not a clinical practicing therapist, nor do I claim to be. But it is worth mentioning because it is absolutely a component. You know, a lot of times we work with clients who are also going to therapy, and I think that works really well synergistically. Being able to unpack some of those things and you know, understand some of those behavioral patterns that exist when you're, you know, triggered from previous traumas and things like that. And I think it's just important that we are aware of it as coaches, as practitioners. I think we have to understand that it's there, that it's prevalent, and that is strongly connected with weight gain and, you know, some disordered tendencies, relationship with food, things like that. So, I don't want to go too in the weeds because that is outside of my scope, but I did want to mention that because there is research to suggest that, absolutely plays a role. And now number six, this one's a little bit fun too, because, if you ask somebody, like, what is one of the strongest predictors of being overweight or obese? A lot of people will go through like all the typical stuff, like, oh, I bet you it's, sedentary lifestyle. And I bet you it's this type of dietary habit. And I bet you it's this. You want to know the actual strongest predictor? Your zip code. That's right. Your zip code. Where you live. Socioeconomic status plays a massive role in what you have access to, what you learn, education around nutrition, you know, having quality food choices or convenient food choices and whatever else. So where you live, again, you didn't choose to be born in a certain area. You didn't choose to be born in a certain family dynamic, right? Like these are things that were just, they just are. And it's very short-sighted to say it's just a matter of calories and macros and training. And it's just a matter of being more disciplined or wanting it bad enough or not being lazy or whatever else people say. There's so much more to it than that. There's so much nuance involved. And I think that we're really doing people a disservice when we make statements like, well, if you just eat healthy and exercise, it's really simple. It's not. There's a lot of gray. And I think that if you are in a program or working with a coach and you're really not getting the gray, right? Like if you're really not getting the personal touch that you deserve, the individual attention that you deserve, it's worth pursuing other options. Now, again, having said that, I think that it's really important that we delineate here. I'm not saying that if you fall into some of these categories that you're just destined for failure. They're like, you might as well write it off and like, oh, well, too bad. Luck of the draw. I'm never going to be where I want to be. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have to have awareness around these things. And from that place of awareness, now we can take action. Because the only thing that stops you in your tracks is inaction. The only thing that stops you in your tracks is inaction. When you sit there and you have paralysis by analysis and there's all this conflicting information, so you just do nothing, or you're trying to be, you know, things have to be perfect, right? Like I talked to somebody who was like, oh, I'll get started with this when I get back from this trip in like the end of July. I'm like, if you always view it through that lens, it's always going to be something that is not a lifestyle because you're already setting the frame as if this is only something you can do during certain time frames instead of an forever thing. And that lens is really damaging. So my point to all of this is it comes from a place of awareness. Awareness precedes change. There's a lot of nuance and individuality required. You should seek out help that tends to that level of individuality. And the only thing that stops you in your tracks is inaction. Just do something and then we can learn from it. Even if it's like, you know, the worst possible outcome. Like if you're like, you know what? I'm just going to start with fasting 23 hours a day and never eating carbs again and going to the gym 10 times a week. Like, I don't care if you just start doing something, or even if it's like, that was the extreme example, even if it's the other end of the spectrum, we're like, all I'm going to do is walk 10 minutes a day and that's where I'm going to start. It doesn't matter if you start very small or very extremely, because failure, realizing that you did too much, is an opportunity to learn and adapt. Realizing that you can do more is an opportunity to learn and adapt. The only thing that you can't learn from is inaction because you're doing nothing. So that's the only thing that stops you in your tracks. Do something. Start with something. But hopefully this helps to paint the picture of, number one, why it's so important to seek out an approach. Like if you think about the coaching programs out there that are super cheap, here's what you'll find. You'll find a meal plan or a macro plan and a training program, and that's it. Yeah, of course they should be cheap. They're providing you with zero foundation, zero individual variance, and likely zero long-term results. So of course you should pay very little for that. The coaching programs that cost a premium, they will get into the individual nature and the unsexy truths that make all of this work for each person. And they deserve to be priced accordingly, because that's what it takes for the forever change, the lifestyle approach, the permanent change that you're seeking. So hopefully this helps. And if you have any questions about any of those are six. There's more. I could continue to go into the weeds, but I think that those at a high level are six important unsexy truths about weight loss. And really it's about just health and fitness and, you know, overall well-being in general, but that's it. Hit me up if you have any questions. Otherwise, I will talk to you next time.